The message this morning is called The Faith Cycle. And, you know, I've been reading the Bible in a way that connects the Old Testament with the New Testament, and I'm reading the Bible a lot faster than I ever have before. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing more patterns, I'm seeing more connections, I'm seeing the bigger picture of who God is and how God works as I'm reading in this particular way. And so as I've been doing this, I'm not only understanding more of his word in an entirety as a whole, but I do have a better accurate understanding of who God is. And so this morning I want to bring you this pattern that I found in 1 Peter 4 of the faith cycle, our faith cycle. And this message is to really encourage all of us. This letter that we're going to read in a moment in 1 Peter 4 is a letter that Peter wrote to those early believers who had heard the gospel and they responded to the gospel. They had come from many other different places, they'd come to Jerusalem and had heard the gospel preached, had their own salvation, and then had returned to their own place where they lived, which was far away. And so this letter is to those people who were living in a very hostile environment. They had their own salvation. They knew who Jesus was. And this letter is to encourage those people to keep their faith, to keep going on their faith cycle. And you know, it's such a relevant message for us today. We live in an environment where we do face hostility, whether it's in school, in university, in our workplaces, we do face that hostility against Jesus. And so this letter that Peter writes encourages us to keep on this faith cycle. So let's just read the passage of Scripture this morning and then we'll get into the Word. So 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 19. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He starts off quite, a little bit dramatic. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Now I could stop there and finish there, but I wouldn't do the word justice. And so let's just read on to see what Peter also has to say. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you." Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you that as we believe in you, as we trust in you, as our faith grows in you, Father God, that you do bring blessing. And so, Father, I pray for every person here right now who is hearing your word, that they would hear your word, take it into their hearts, and respond to you as you speak to each person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as I said to you before, these people that received this letter, they were new believers, they were new Christians. And this letter is an encouragement for all of us in our faith. And, you know, as I was thinking about this cycle, you know, I had this analogy of bike riding. Now, in Australia, it's a milestone for children to learn how to ride a bike, and our youngest child, Logan, learned how to ride his bike this year. He was 7. He tried last year, and he just wasn't quite ready. He just wasn't quite ready, and he tried to get on, and it wasn't working. He's like, I'm never going to ride a bike. I'm never going to do this. And I said, well, if you can't ride a bike, you can't drive a car. He said, well, that's fine. I won't drive a car either. I'm just going to ice skate. Okay, Luke. Anyway, so this year he had another go. He was ready and he got off on the bike and, you know, I think it took 2 tries and he was off. He was off. He got the steering, the balance, the pedaling, everything just worked just like that. And so in this faith cycle, you know, the first part of this faith cycle is to pray. You know, when Peter says, pray earnestly, pray fervently, be disciplined in your prayers, this is how we are steering. You know, when we are praying as part of the first part of this faith cycle and we're steering in the direction that God is leading us as we're praying and seeking God for his will for us, we're keeping alert, we're keeping watch around us. We're steering on the right course, the right path that God is taking us on. This is that first part of the faith cycle. And so prayer is a constant thing. You know, I find myself more and more these days, especially having pretty much 3 teenage girls, that I'm praying a lot. I'm praying for their future. I'm really praying for them right now in these difficult years. I'm praying into these things that God has put responsibility in terms of leap into spring. I'm praying according to those things that God is putting on my heart to pray for. You see, as we're steering on God's path, he speaks to you about those things that he wants you to pray for. He speaks to you about those things that only you can actually impart to somebody else that will lead them closer to Christ. And so the prayer is that steering part of riding this cycle of faith. He says, verse 7, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Earnest and disciplined. So first we are to pray. Be alert, be on guard, look out for what God wants you to pray for. And so the second part of this cycle is you've got to pedal, you've got to get those feet in motion, you've got to get basically your love on, I would say. In verses 8 to 9, Peter writes, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And so, you know, this is the peddling part of the cycle, the love, loving people deeply, loving them above people's sin or wrongdoing. Love trumps sin. And, you know, as we are to love those people who don't yet know Jesus into the kingdom, we love above their behaviour or their attitudes or whatever it is that we know is sin. They may not know that yet. But we love them above those things. We love them into the kingdom. You know, when I was really searching for Christ, I met a friend, Rebecca. And, you know, before Christ, I you might find this hard to believe, but pretty much every second word was a curse word. I'm not exaggerating. I swore a lot. And she never said anything about that, not one word, no judgment at all. But she answered my questions. She responded to what she could see in my heart, which was a desire to know God. There was a desire in me to know the Lord. I didn't quite know what that was, but she could see it. And so she just kept loving me and being with me and answering those questions. And, you know, all of that fell away. I could see it wasn't necessary. You see, God will work out the rest of those things. First, we need to love people to Christ. And we're also to love people deeply within his church, within his church. I had a friend who I had been journeying with, and she called me, and you know, I knew her story and you knew what was happening in her life, and she called me and she said, "So Emma, just give you a bit of background. She was toying up with relationships and with men, and this phone conversation unfolded in that she said, "Look, I've had sex with this guy, and now I've discovered I'm pregnant. And, you know, I don't know what to do." And so, you know, in moments like that, I'm praying, Lord, and asking for his wisdom. And my immediate response was, knowing her background and knowing a little bit about this guy that she was talking about, I just said to her, "Well, at least you chose a really good-looking guy." And she said, "Huh." She said, "You're one out of two people who have not responded with judgment, but you just responded with love and care. And I know that you want to journey with me through this." I didn't need to tell her she'd done the wrong thing, did I? She knew she'd made a mistake. We all make mistakes. It's not my place to put judgment upon her, but to love her and care for her. And do you know what? Through our relationship and through that relationship that she had with that other person who did not judge her, she is passionate for God. She is the best mum for her son. She is doing an incredible job raising him up to know Christ as well. We have to love people. We have to love them deeply. I love how Peter is the person that wrote this letter. He was the one that when Jesus was going to be crucified, he denied that he knew Jesus. Three times, Jesus said to Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." He said, "No, I'm not. I love you. I'm faithful to you." But he did. He doubted. And he denied Jesus three times. Now, after Jesus had died and rose again, he came back and he appeared to the disciples a few times. And he appeared to Peter, and this is, I love how Jesus just loves Peter. See, Jesus sees Peter for who God has designed him to be. Jesus sees Peter for what is on his life, that he was to build his church. He doesn't see the mistakes anymore. He sees his future, and he calls Peter, and he says to him, I just want to read you this little excerpt in John where Jesus is with the disciples and they're having breakfast. After breakfast, John 21 verses 15 to 17, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Meaning, do you love me more than anyone else? "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Then feed my sheep." You see, Jesus was calling Peter to build the church, to look after those new believers, to care for the flock, to shepherd them. He didn't look at the mistakes anymore. He wanted to call him and lead him and guide him into the plans and purposes that his Father God had for Peter. And it's the same for every one of us. We are to love people in a way that we see what their future is. We see God in them. We see who God has designed them to be. And for you as well, God has plans and purposes for each one of you. Each one of you to accomplish. Let's go to the next part of the faith cycle. Now, this is the part about serving, where Peter talks about serving. And I kind of see this part as the balancing act. This is our balancing act when we're riding this faith cycle. So 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do as you serve God will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Every single one of us has gifts. God has given each of us gifts, spiritual gifts, natural gifts. We all have gifts to serve our God. And so how are you using your gifts to serve and love others? And the balancing comes into place where, you know, you need to be operating in the gifts that God has given you to have that balance. And this needs to happen both in the church and outside of the church. You know, everybody has a role to play, has something to do for the Lord on a Sunday. Everybody. Everybody has things that God would have them do throughout the week in a way to serve him, to bring people into his house, to bring people into his kingdom. And so the balancing here is, you know, if you're operating a gift that is not quite you, if I was on that sound desk, this service would be an absolute mess. You know, I would be off balance because I'm not operating in the gifts that God has given me. And so the balancing comes into place where we're balancing and serving in the areas that we're called to and that we're gifted in the church and outside the church. What are your gifts that God has given you? How are you serving him in a way that brings glory to him? I love how, you know, we've got so many people in our church who serve in incredible ways, and there's a couple in our church, Ben and Avina. They are so gifted in hospitality and they just bring people over to their home. They build into people's lives. They be family for those people who don't have family. They're great fun. They love to organise fun events and they just do this very naturally. You know, they're not on a roster. They just do this because they know that that's their gifting. They know that that's how they serve God. Okay, so let's get on to the next part, which insults are a blessing. Insults are a blessing. Who here has been insulted for being a Christian, has been mocked or ridiculed for being a Christian? Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Yeah. Well, in verses 12 to 14, Peter says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you." You know, we need to hear this. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Because when people see Jesus in you, when they know you are a follower of Jesus, that is a confronting thing for people. And so that's why people will reject you. They're actually rejecting Christ. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ in you. So don't be surprised when that happens. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of being a follower of Jesus. Celebrate when that happens. Because if you are insulted, if you are mocked, or you're facing hostility or difficulty wherever you are, that's a blessing. That's actually a blessing. And the blessing that Peter is talking about is our eternity in the kingdom of God, that we will see Jesus face to face. We will see his glory when he returns. That's the blessing that Peter is referring to, that we have eternity in heaven with him. And, you know, I just want to clarify, you know, where God is not a God who wants us to suffer. That's not who God is. He is a God of love. As Steve was saying before, perfect love casts out fear. There are so many verses where it talks about how God loves and blesses. And the other meaning of blessing, or to be blessed, is spiritual and natural abundant resources. I want you to have an understanding that yes, when we suffer for being a follower of Jesus, that is a blessing, because we know we have eternity with him in heaven. But he doesn't want us to suffer for... God is not a God who wants us to suffer. He wants us to be blessed. And, you know, I just want to read you a few passages of different scripture just for you to understand the difference between being insulted for being a follower of Jesus, but God's blessing in that, and the other meaning of blessing. So some examples, I'm just going to read them out to you, just let them soak into your heart. Exodus 23:25, "You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness." Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 17:7, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." And part of the Beatitudes, the famous blessing verses, Matthew 5:6-10, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." There's so many scriptures that I could read to you. But can you see the picture of God as a God who blesses? And also that as you follow him, that being insulted or facing difficulty for being a follower of Jesus is also a blessing as well. And, you know, I kind of had this image, you know, these first parts of this faith cycle, pray, love, serve. Can you imagine that you're on your bike and you're doing this really well? You know, you're one of those cyclists. You know, those cyclists who wear the Lycra and they've got their sunglasses and their aerodynamic helmet, you know, they're zipping down the cycle path. You've got this all worked out. You're praying, you're keeping alert, you're loving people, you're bringing people to Christ, you've found your gifts, you're serving on a Sunday, you're serving, you know, throughout the week, and you're just on fire and you're zipping down on the path that God has for you. But you're going quite fast. You've got this all worked out. You know that the steering, the pedaling, the balancing. And then all of a sudden there's bugs in your face and they're kind of throwing off kilter you know, sometimes completely left of field, a car will try and drive you off the path, completely knock you off your bike. You know, and sometimes we don't recognize that when that happens, that is either a blessing because people see Christ in you, and when you're doing the will of God, Satan does not want you to succeed. And he will throw anything and everything at you to get you off your bike. Sometimes this happens from people we least expect. But let me tell you, if you are insulted for following Jesus, if you are knocked off your bike for whatever reason, if the enemy is trying to steal your joy or steal you off course, use that as a motivator to get back on. Use that as a motivator to say, you know what? Clearly I must be on the right path. I know I was going the right path. I was going so well. I know I was doing the will of God. I was doing this. I was praying. I was loving. I was serving. And so get back on that bike. Get back on that cycle. Use it as a motivator to keep going, to celebrate the blessings of being insulted, to celebrate that God is a God of blessing, and to know that you can trust Him. You see, this is the next part. This is the next part where we really are to celebrate and stay on the cycle. And as you do that, as you obey, you keep obeying God, as you keep trusting in Him, Peter says He will never fail you. Worship Him. I'd love you to come up right now. You see, when you are going so well, that's sometimes the times where the enemy will want to take you out, or people will be in your life where they are really being quite difficult. And so you get back on the faith cycle. As you stay on this cycle, as you are going around this cycle of prayer, love, serving, receiving blessing, as you keep staying the course, your trust in God deepens, your faith in Him grows, and we become fruitful, effective, mature followers of Jesus. You know, we can't ride a bike by just steering and not pedaling. They all work in sync together. All these things occur simultaneously, and we see this cycle is more of a constant. You know, we're praying, we're loving, we're serving, we're staying on course. We watch out if we're getting off course. If we make mistakes, we correct and we go back on the right course. We allow God to speak to us in how we can trust Him more, how we can keep obeying Him more. And we stay on the cycle. And you will bear much fruit. God says to be fruitful. If you are doing these things, and everybody is at different stages, whether you've got your training wheels on still or they're off and you're that lycra riding cyclist, whether you're still getting your balance, we're all at different stages of this faith cycle. But if you just stay on the cycle, you will mature, you will find your groove, and you'll be so fruitful. God will say, I love you, you're my faithful servant. You will be fruitful in bringing people to Christ. You'll be fruitful in the areas that God has gifted you in. You will know His word because you'll be reading His word. You'll be praying. You'll be in this rhythm of this cycle of faith. Church, I just want you to stand up. You know, sometimes when we have to trust God in different things, we really have to grip on tight to Him. We have to cling to Him. It's like gripping onto the handlebars. We have to grip and hold tight to Jesus as we continue to trust in Him. When we press into trusting in God more, He will never fail you. That's a promise. It's His promise. He will never fail you. And you will experience such a close, loving, perfect relationship with Christ. So, church, wherever you are in this faith cycle, if God's calling you to pray more, just to start with seeking Him, then start there. If you've been riding for a long time and God's saying, you know what, I can see that you're weary, or I can see that you've lost your passion for me, you need to change a few things. Maybe you need new wheels. Maybe you need new gears. God wants you to reignite your passion and your love for following Him today. If you need to renew your passion for following Jesus, I just want you to lift your hands. Just declare that, do you know what? I want to get back on this cycle. I want to have a deep relationship with my Lord. I want to know, I want to experience that I can trust you, that you will never fail me. And so today I'm reaching out to you, God. I'm saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I trust in you today. If that's you today, just lift your hands to worship Him. Lift your hands to declare that I'm just going to be all out for you. Not ashamed of the gospel. I see hands raised. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for the cycle of faith that causes us to partner with you, to be in relationship with you, to pray according to what things you put on our hearts to pray for, to love deeply as you have loved us, to serve people as your Son came to serve, to keep on this faith cycle with passion for Jesus, who is our salvation. And so, Father, I pray for your blessing upon your people today. Father, let your people be knitted in unity and peace as they follow you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.